nuclear time bombs. Holy overeating. Holy roller coasters.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time for the Lion Sidekick Podcast.
Hey, 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 everyone. Welcome back for another episode of the YM Sidekick Podcast. As usual, I'm Tom Pounder, and this is where student and online ministers go to get some cool tips and tricks and how to do ministry more effectively in a very digital and online world. We talk about student ministry topics, social media topics, and online church topics. And so we're so grateful that you're here joining us today. And today I'm bringing back my friend Ben Kearns. It's been a few weeks, maybe a month or so, since we last brought Ben on. And he's become quite the regular contributor. In fact, Corey Sullivan's probably steaming now that I have him on as much as I do. But I love Ben. Again, we're the same age, right around there. I think I'm a week or two older than he is. We have the same love of the 90s, and we have the same passion for student ministry. You know, even though I'm focusing more on online ministry and social media stuff, I still have my hand in student ministry. And, I'm overseeing the student ministry program right now, and I love student ministry, and we both have a huge passion for it, and Ben is always in the thick of it. And so I brought him on because I wanted to talk to him about a recent blog post he had on planning out and really developing your ministry model and planning your activities around that ministry model. And it was a great reminder for me, and actually it was very convicting for me on a lot of levels because I am a little bit different than he is on this. So you'll have a great chance to hear what Ben has to say about planning out your calendar. And so without any further ado, we're going to get right into the topic now with Ben Kearns on planning out your year.
All right, with me right now is my friend Ben Kearns. Ben, how are you?
You know, I'm doing really well. Glad to be with you, Tom. Glad you could squeeze me in on with all these ministry and dates and excitement life that's going on in your life. I'm glad to get squeezed in.
See, I always like hearing like a smart aleck comment from you when I ask how you're doing. You always got something up your sleeve. So how's the weather out there in California?
Oh my gosh, it is beautiful. It is so bad. I mean, it's sunny and green.
Oh my gosh.
Everything is like the hills behind my house look like Ireland. It's I feel really spoiled. So spring is in the air.
Wait, have you ever been to Ireland?
No, I've never left Northern California. Basically,
just you've seen pictures of Ireland. Everyone always talks about Ireland, and I just gotta go to Ireland sometime. I think.
Yeah, I just go to HD YouTube channels, and it feels like I'm there.
Okay. So now that we're talking about Ireland, are you a golfer? Do you like to golf?
About 5 years ago, I was the last time I golfed. I went to a Young Life charity golf event.
Yeah.
And I ended up breaking a club and throwing one into the forest and realized I need some character development before I get back to the golf course.
Okay. One time, this was a great moment for me. I was with some guys on a golfing weekend. I've only done this once, okay? So it's not something I do all the time. In fact, I don't think I've golfed in the last 4 years. But the golf weekend I went there, I broke out my 4-iron. I hit the 4-iron, and my club head went flying. The head.
Yes.
And so that was one of my great moments. So, all right, dude. Well, listen, I love catching up with you. You got some great stuff. But you posted a blog posting recently called Developing a Solid Ministry Plan. You had part one and you had part two. And so I wanted to talk to you about that. You want to talk about that today?
That sounds great. I love developing a solid ministry plan.
Well, you've been doing this for decades now, so you should probably have this down pat, right?
That's right. It is in my DNA.
It's in your DNA. Well, just to give everyone, before we dig into some of the details of it, before – you know, in case someone hasn't read your blog post, describe the overview of it.
The overview is basically, I thought I would take my 20 years of youth ministry experience and say, hey, what are the three most important things you got to know if you're putting together a youth ministry? And so one is having, part one, I talked about having a philosophy that works and is coherent. And two, talked about making sure you have some events that play into that. And then next week will be a post about actually making the night, the youth ministry night, really, really effective and great. So, yeah, so it's just basically three parts about how to do youth ministry for knuckleheads who are just starting out.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, you got a ton of experience, and actually even for me who's done youth ministry for a while as well, this was a great reminder and actually was pretty convicting on some things. So let's get into some of this stuff that you got going on right now. I love how you said, you know, whether you're a cell-based ministry, attractional, mission or purpose-driven or whatever, you know, there are certain events that you have to have on the calendar or that you do put on the calendar. My question is, of all these events that you listed, I mean, I'm just going to read them off some of them right here. Retreats, movie nights, scavenger hunts, lock-in, service project, mission trips, yada, yada, yada. How excited do you get about lock-ins, man? How excited do you get?
Dude, it's where love happens, man. you know what? I've actually given up lock-ins about 3 years. 3 or 4 years ago was my last lock-in. I just so I think we've done, like, the lock-ins we do now are a little more specialized. Like, we might do a guy's video game all-nighter,
yeah,
sort of things like that. But I'm too old now to have kids sneak off and make babies in the choir room. So I just don't do that anymore.
Yeah. Whenever I've done a lock-in, there's always been something scandalous as well. So that's why we make them very gender-specific as well, just like you. Well, here's the one thing that you mentioned in your blog post is that you plan a year out. Okay. Yeah. For me, I mean, when I first started doing youth ministry, my youth mentor, definitely, we were planning, I think we were planning 6 months out and then probably even sometimes a year out. And there are definitely some things that you can do from a year out. But honestly, it's a hard discipline for me to maintain. I usually plan 3 months out. I mean, so, or even 4 months out, or I'll do like a semester, like fall semester, then winter semester / summer, spring. And then I'll do a summer. But what's the benefit of planning a year out, and how, like, go into detail a little bit about, like, how long do you take to plan that out? What kind of a process is it for you?
Well, that's a good question. I think, there's a gazillion benefits for calendaring a year out. One is that once you've done the hard work, then you just kind of work a plan. And so instead of being like, what am I going to do next month? And, oh, that place is already booked, or, you know, all the things that, like, you know, that you actually get a plan out. So if you do something expensive, you can let parents know 6 months out when, like we're going to Disneyland in October. And so we get to tell parents, hey, we're going to Disneyland in October. Here's the date. Here's how much it costs. And there's a huge long on-ramp to, you know, to pull that off and figure it out. And so the benefit is, yeah, that you're not scrambling. You have plenty of time to plan. You have plenty of time to reserve and get everything to work and get people on board. I'm sure your I think your context is like mine, that everyone's really busy. And yeah. And back in the good old youth ministry days where it'd be Sunday school, youth group, midweek Bible study, monthly activity, quarterly retreat, yearly service project, you know, that was a lot to pull off and kind of drove me crazy. And so actually my year plan is much more simple now. I have kind of four anchor events and then I have placeholders for certain kind of events. So like I know our big fall event. I know our winter camp. I know our mission trip. And then I have like, you know, like a spring kickoff or a fall kickoff or a, you know, I have a couple smaller things that are just more placeholders. So I don't need to go, like, that's not planned necessarily. I just have a placeholder for some sort of fun event that I'll do, depending on the grouping of kids and what it looks like as it gets closer. But the night is planned.
Okay. And then you talk about your anchor events. Go into your anchor events again, the ones that you're the core.
Yeah. So our anchor events for next school year is we're taking a bus to Disneyland just as a fun, attractional, goofy. It's like, it's just an easy win for us Northern California kids who never really get to go to Disneyland, and it's a weekend and nothing spiritual happens, but it's a lot of fun. So that's our fall event. And then we go to Hume Lake for winter camp. And so we have that date on the calendar. And then we're going to Nicaragua for a mission trip in the spring.
Okay. So those are the ones that you have consistently. And then the other ones that you have, you kind of put in that you said that were placeholders. What, like, how do, how do you determine what are the other things that you fit into your whole calendar plan?
That's a great question. So we have natural breaks. So I'm sure you probably do. Like we have, yep. we have a ski week, we have spring break. You know, we have, you know, different sort of events like that. We have finals week and dead week. And so, you know, so we have, you know, Christmas party fits in there. We do like a little Thanksgiving, celebration. So like the week before Thanksgiving, we do a little Thanksgiving special thing. During ski week, we go bowling. So, I mean, once you kind of have those little, like there's already a natural rhythm in a school calendar. Mm-hmm. And so it's just about, at least for us, it's just about maximizing that school calendar, you know, for different events and for mixing up rhythms and there's just natural breaks. And so you just think with all the youth ministry things out there, what's the best use of that little break right there?
Yeah. And, you're exactly right. I mean, because you got to look at, so one of the main things that when I look at stuff is I have to look at the calendar. Like for instance, right now, as we've wrapped up all our planning for the last 3 months, is that we had to look at proms for high school proms. Like, yeah. I mean, we draw from four main high schools. I don't know how it is like in your area, but our church draws from four main high schools. And I want to make sure that if I'm planning something in May that I'm not conflicting. Now, it's not going to be perfect, but I mean, I don't want to conflict as much as possible with those proms that are happening. So,
yeah. See, look, you got it.
Well, okay, well, now, so you plan out the year in advance and so forth, but what do you publicize to your parents and to your students? How frequently will you publicize that? Will you publicize the whole year in advance or will you publicize it differently? How does that go?
Yeah. So we'll publicize a quarter in advance. So, in May. So in the middle of April, we'll put out our summer calendar, which will be May, June, July, and August.
Yep.
So it'll be all the dates through August. And then it'll also have, a save the date for our fall event.
Okay.
In September, we'll give not a fancy graphically beautiful calendar, but more like an Excel sheet to our parents. In September, that says kind of all the weeks of youth group, all the topics we're talking about, and when all the events are through the calendar year.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll give that to them in an Excel sheet, and then we have a quarterly calendar that's not beautiful, but it's a graphic-based calendar that we put out.
Yeah. Okay, see, that's good. Because I think one of the main differences, even though you and I both publicize our calendars about a quarter or whatnot in advance, you're planned out already, or for the most part. I'm just planning and then publicizing. So
yeah.
I'm doing both at the same time.
Well, here's the deal. Like, you're old and parents love you and respect you. And so it's – and you can actually do most of this in your sleep. The fringe benefit of cranking it of just it only takes a day. You just take it takes an hour, really. But if you just took a day to go and dream and map it all out, you take all the school calendars and you go, here's all the youth group weeks. Here's how the curriculum fits in there. Here's the topics I want to speak on. Here's the events. And just put all that together. When you give that to parents in September – it just buys you so much street cred with them. Mm-hmm. You know, I think as youth workers, if we're always behind the curve and we're always scrambling to get parents to respect us and think we're doing a good job, then when anything bad happens, then that just proves that we're idiots. As opposed to if we're always on the front edge, we're always giving parents more information than we need. We let them know that we got, you know, their spiritual formation dialed in. And here's the events we're doing and why we're doing it. And it's all planned out and there's a reason for it all. And we communicate that to the parents that, you know, it just builds trust and respect. And so then when something does happen that messes up a youth group, like oh, that's not normally how things are. It's the exception instead of the rule. And I think having good admin and planning and helping parents see that is a really actually easy way to build a lot of street cred with parents and your supervisor.
Yeah, and I think you're exactly right because, I mean, if you look back at the times when I was much younger, you don't have the mindset of a parent because you're not a parent. You know, a lot of youth workers start and they're not parents. But as I've had more and more children, and hopefully I'm done having children, that you're right. You have to have the mindset of a parent, and the parents need to know what's happening. They need to know all the details as much as possible and as long as possible, especially when you get into the summer months when they're trying to plan out summer vacations. If you're not promoting your mission trip until, you know, 3 months ahead of time, that is really – that puts you really behind the eight ball and you're not going to have a very successful trip, I believe. So I agree with you completely on that. You said in your blog post that plan events that are consistent with your model. Can you dig into that a little bit? Because I want to talk to you about that for a few minutes, because I completely agree with you on that.
Yeah, I think I think humans are weird, simple beings, and I think we need things to kind of make sense for us. And it's funny because all youth groups mostly look the same. Most of the events all look the same. But there's something about when we take those events and we hook them onto certain, like onto a larger paradigm, like, you know, like the purpose-driven youth model ministry, you know, model where it's like it's worship and ministry and service and, you know, you have all like these different things. Well, then you could do events and you link them onto there. And so make sure you're doing kind of a well-balanced ministry. You know, your events are actually playing into what you actually want to accomplish in your ministry philosophy or vision or strategy or whatever. And so I think, you know, as you figure out what are we going to do, we're going to win, build, send, or we're going to serve, go, grow, or, you know, whatever the thing is that your thing is. I think that's actually, you've already done the hard spiritual work of what do you want your youth ministry to be about. And then now all you're doing is making sure you're clear that your events and your curriculum tie back into that. So instead of going, oh, we always do a lock-in, we always do a, you know, fifth quarter, we always do. We're instead, and all of a sudden you realize, oh, we're actually missing this whole component. So yeah. I think it's helpful to just figure out what your, you know, what the ministry is that you want to do and your core value, your core statements or whatever, and then just make sure you're doing events that touch all those.
Yeah, I agree with you completely, because I think we're all, like you said, we're all human in the sense that, you know, we've got a plan. God has blessed us and given us a plan for our particular ministry, for our context, okay? And then I think sometimes, though, I can look at it and say, wow, man, Ben's doing this thing and he's killing it out there. We got to do something exactly like that, even if it doesn't fit into our context or even our model.
Right.
And we're going to miss the boat because, again, what works for you in California is not necessarily going to work for me here in Northern Virginia. And and again, it's not necessarily what God wants me to do in my ministry. God's given me a different plan than he's given you. So I can't be distracted by all the great things that you're doing and how you're killing it out there. I got to say, how can God bless us here in what our ministry is? So it's easy to get distracted and lose focus. We have to stay focused on what God's plan for us in our ministry is, and or else we're going to really screw the pooch on that one.
Oh my gosh, totally. And I think I've come to peace with a little bit is to realize that we're all totally made uniquely. I mean, just like our churches all are unique, like we all do the same thing, but there's a different kind of way our DNA forms us and launches us. And so instead of being like, you know, presence-centered youth ministry or purpose-driven youth ministry or Celtic way of evangelism or all, you know, whatever, like there's only one way that works. Like I think it's helpful to go, this is the way that God's wired me. God's called me to be the leader of this ministry. This is the way that God's wired me and my unique passions and, you know, and the things I'm good at and what I want to be about. And so to craft a ministry that leverages your unique person and personality and passions, and then to run full-fledged. Because like you said, it's so frustrating to look at other youth ministries and go, oh, that thing, that they're killing it there. But really, that's that guy's passion and they all love it. Whenever you do something because it's somebody else's passion, you miss out. And it's much better to do something that's not sexy and everyone in America is not going to think is great, but you love it. And because you love it, your kids are going to love it. I mean, kids follow passion. So be passionate about the things that you're passionate about and create a ministry and context and calendar that you're passionate about. And I think you'll enjoy your year way better.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. You got to stick with what's your passion. And the kids can see it too. The kids are going to be able to see your passion and get excited about it. The more excited you are, the more excited they're going to be with it. So
that's right. No more Harry Potter nights, just bachelor dating extravaganzas. That's what we do.
Have you ever, truth be known, have you ever done a bachelor viewing party with your youth group?
No, I would never do that. Although, we did go to Hume Lake, and at this winter camp, they make these cardboard sleds. And one year, we did a sled that was a limo. We called it the Final Rose, and no one thought it was funny except for me. But it's okay.
Okay, here's my follow up question to this: Do your kids look down upon you or look high upon you? The fact that you watch The Bachelor as much as you do.
Everyone looks down on me about it. parents don't respect me because of it. Kids, I mean, Bachelor's an old person show anyway, so kids don't watch it. And so I don't even know why I still watch it. I get no street cred for it. But, you know, I think in my core I love love. You know?
Yeah, you do. I mean, listen, you probably got addicted to the kind of Bachelor stuff when back when we were younger and MTV had that show Singled Out. Remember that? Yes, yeah. Man, blast from the past, Singled Out, man. You never lost that loving feeling. So when ABC came out with Bachelor, you're like, I got to do it. So
it's my bread and butter.
Hey, Ben, man, thanks for so much for joining me today. If you haven't checked out Ben's blog, it's averageyouthministry.com. You can check him out on Twitter, AverageYM. And he's just an all-around great guy. And now, wait. I don't think we've talked about this since it's come out, but you were just ranked in the top 30 blog posts of youth ministry. How do you feel? I'm
glad. Well, truthfully, I'm glad they went top 30. If it was top 20, I wouldn't have made the list. So I'm pretty glad that that I made it. There's like three like normal youth workers on that list. So I was pretty glad to be one of the three normal youth workers on that list.
Dude, you are an all-star rock star. You should be number one on that whole list. So, man.
All right. Well, you should tell them. Well, hey. You should tell – well, let's tell them, all your podcast people, we're going to be at Orange, living it
yes.
up. I think we're going to do a YM Sidekick hosted party one of the nights.
Yeah.
And we'll get after it.
Yeah, we'll Periscope it live so everyone can join us with us. Because Perfect. You know – you love those videos, man. You love videos.
I love Periscope.
All right, Ben. Well, thanks so much again for joining me.
All right. See you, Tom.
All right. So there you have it, my conversation with Ben. Again – always great catching up with him and talking with him, and I'm looking forward to talking with him and a bunch of other people down at the Orange Conference. If you're going to be at the Orange Conference, let me know. Hit me up on Twitter, at TA Pounder, and let me know what you're doing at Orange and where I can connect with you, because I'd love to meet you in person and see how your ministry is going. But again, just to reiterate some of the things that Ben and I talked about, he talked about having four kind of crucial events, four events where they are planned each and every year. Usually it's your kickoff, usually it's your end of the school year activity, and then there's a few other things within that context. What are those events for you? What are those permanent events that you can plan around, that you can have in your ministry each year, and then build around that? I thought that was really interesting how he did that. And again, we all have those. If we look at them, we all have them. And so it's a great way to start your planning process. But I'd love to hear from you. What is it that you are doing for your planning process? How do you operate your calendar? Do you plan out 6 months ahead of time, a whole year ahead of time? Do you plan out even 3 months ahead of time? Like I'm behind the game on here because I was stepped in unexpectedly for our student minister who left. But we just planned out 3 months at a time. But what is it that you do? How do you best function? And are there pros to really going to plan out for the whole year? What is it that you do? I'd love to hear from you. Again, hit me up on Twitter, at TA Pounder, and share with me what you're up to. All right, everyone. Well, that basically wraps it up. Again, thanks for joining me today. If you enjoyed this podcast, you can do two things. And I would be very, very appreciative if you did those two things. One is subscribe to the podcast. Go on the iTunes and subscribe it. It's the YM Sidekick podcast. I'd love for you to subscribe to it today. And then rate me. If you really like this podcast, rate me and say, gosh, I really like Tom Pounder. He's awesome. I can't see what he looks like, but he seems like a good-looking guy, and you should listen to his podcast. That would be awesome. If you said a negative thing, that might not be so good. So I would love a positive review on iTunes on that. So thanks for doing that. All right, everyone. Well, thanks for joining me again next week. I'll have a brand new episode. So I hope to see you next week.